Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Okay, before we bring in the Goth Ninjas, let's talk about our Amazon link for the holidays at BobSeska.com. Whether you're shopping for yourself or if you're buying music by one of our excellent indie bands, or if you're just getting a jump on your holiday shopping without leaving your house, don't forget to use our Amazon link just beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Our special link will take you to the front page of Amazon.com where you can go shopping until you're dropping. And by doing so through our link, we receive a teeny tiny commission on some of your purchases. Thank you for shopping through our Amazon link. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Bernie! Ooh, is that pixie dust on your shoulder? You're so mad.
No, it's cracker crumbs.
You're the only one who understands me. We're so similar.
No, we're not. Don, let me say this. And when I say that, what I mean is, I'm going to say something. Mr. President, respectfully, you are doing a terrible job. And I would like to drive that point home by doing a desk piece on your show where I offer you a counterpoint to your presidency. I call it, wait for it, counterpoint.
Excuse me.
Counterpoint.
Excuse me.
Counterpoint.
My desk, my show, so we're just gonna call it Counterpoint, excuse me.
Counterpoint, you leaked classified information to the Russians, you putz. Look at me, I never leaked anything more than a little Russian dressing off the side of my mouth now and then.
Excuse me.
What do you want?
I'm the president, and if I said it, it's declassified. I declassify everything I touch. The White House used to be super classy, but now totally declassified.
Look, Donald, I gotta get out of here. I got a very exciting revote on the reappropriation of last year's continuing resolution of the previous year's omnibus budgetary appropriation for the fiscal year prior to that. I got goosebumps just thinking about it.
Classic Bernie.
Great.
Knowing things and caring about them.
Seska. Bob Seska. You really are sick.
The Bob Seska Show.
The great James Adomian and the even greater Tony Atamanik. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, November 7, 2019, and this is the Bob Seska Show presented by BubbleGenius.com. It's the greatest damn soap ever. Hi, what's up? What's happening? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,022 of the Trump crisis. Day 45 of the impeachment of Donald Trump. 361 days until the 2020 presidential election. And let's bring in the Goth Ninjas. How about that, huh? It is Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network, from -the-bunker.com, also sexyliberal.com, and T-Rex David Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Welcome to both of you. Thank you for joining us today, as always, on our weird Thursday.
So my name's Eric.
I'm Eric.
Yeah, we have a stupid Eric Trump thing of the week coming up, but it's not going to be on the free portion of the show. You have to go to our Patreon page at bobsuskashow.com and subscribe for at least $5 a month, and then you get the postmortem show, which is just us continuing to talk after we're done here with the main portion of the
show.
For
like 3 hours.
Yeah. And that was a really long explanation. I just occurred to me. It's now Memorial Day.
And I think you're planning ahead for like very like you're very optimistic that we're going to, you know, get we're going to remember by the postmortem show to talk about Eric Trump.
But yeah, that's
true.
Right. Well, I
he has high hopes.
I have it written down. It's at the top of my list for the postmortem show. Like, I feel terrible because last time on Tuesday's show, I said we were going to talk about that Tom Steyer thing with Kamala Harris in South Carolina. Right. And we never got to it on the postmortem show. And I got lots of angry comments and emails saying, why did you not talk about this? God damn you to hell. But yeah, I apologize for that. So we'll get to that today, too. I think maybe my fingers are crossed. But first, I wanted to get both of your reactions to the election night on Tuesday night. It was a big day. It was a big night, I think, for the Democratic Party. Terrible night for Donald Trump, which makes it even more delicious, I think.
That moment from the rally where he's like, don't let this happen to me.
Yeah, I know. In fact,
I know. And then he's like, it had nothing to do with me. Dude, I saw you last night.
Exactly right. You know what? Do you want to hear that clip? Do you want to hear?
Yes, please.
You're sending that big message to the rest of the country. It's so important. You got to get your friends. You got to vote. Because if you lose, it sends a really bad message. It just sends a bad, and they will build it up. Here's the story. If you win, they're going to make it like ho-hum. And if you lose, they're going to say Trump suffered the greatest defeat in the history of the world.
Yeah.
This was the greatest. You can't let that happen to me.
The only way to hear that is as Tiny Trump, right?
You can't let that happen to me.
Yeah, you know
I
what?
Think here's Tiny Trump is probably your most brilliant and enduring contribution to society.
Yeah,
Mr.
that's right.
Seska.
Everyone loves it so much better. But I mean, here's the thing about that clip. This is the Republican president begging for people to elect someone who is not him in right. The deeply red state of Kentucky. Of all places. And then he walks away after Tuesday going, hey, that wasn't so bad. It's like, right. Oh my God, how delusional can you be? This is like, Donald Trump is like the worst.
Well, that's like that Gorka thing about never admitting that it's trying to, when you are defeated, look victorious. When you are near, appear far.
Jesus, yeah. Yeah, Gorka's analysis, I'm sure, was brilliant. I haven't heard it yet. I haven't heard Gorka talking about it.
Oh, no,
I'm
just saying this is like his thing he was saying even way back at the beginning.
Oh,
like,
I see. Okay.
And Steve Bannon, too, like, never admit defeat. Try to spin everything as victory.
Yeah. But also, you know, Donald Trump making it all about him, too. Like, this has nothing to do with making sure we retain the governor's mansion with Matt right. Bevin, who's nothing but a Trump cosplayer, a Trump clone.
Right.
But it's about him. It's about Donald Trump. It's like, don't do this to me. And he's not even running, but right. He's you know, he's obviously spreading his virus, his taint, all around the country.
Ew. I'm
sorry, it's not pleasant to think about the president's taint, but nevertheless, he
this
is.
This just reminds me of when, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's just scooting his taint all over the place, and Matt Bevin is one of the skid marks left behind by him scooting his taint. Thank you.
Yeah. It reminds me of when Gianni Versace was murdered, and like all the supermodels were like, this has been a terrible thing for me.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
I'm in despair for the state of Mitch McConnell's Depends right now because Democrats just turned Kentucky blue.
Yeah,
what's going to happen? Because the legislature in Kentucky is threatening to overturn the election. Now,
yeah, right,
I think that's
right.
Bad on their part because then I think more Democrats in Kentucky will get out to vote even more in 2020 than they might have. To begin with.
Yeah.
I think it would be bad. I think Mitch McConnell's calling them going, don't do this to me, or don't mm-hmm. do this to me.
Don't do it. Or I'm going to hump that crock right over there.
Because, I mean, he's got the same popularity as Bevin.
And that's the problem where Matt Bevin's behavior as Donald Trump, as a Donald Trump clone, is why he was at 32% in his approval polling. And that's why he lost this election in a deeply red state, because he was acting like Donald Trump. And now this move to behave with this same sort of Trumpian sore loserism is exactly why Matt Bevin was unpopular in the first place. And here he keeps, now he's doubling down on the Trumpism, refusing to accept defeat. I mean, it wasn't like it was 1,000 votes here or there. This is a 5,000 vote margin.
My question about conceding an election, once it's certified, who cares if you concede?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. It doesn't even matter.
You can refuse to concede all the way to the poor. I mean, just,
all the way until they take you out of the governor's mansion in handcuffs. I mean, people say that, if Trump doesn't concede, I don't care. As soon as the next person is sworn in, Secret Service goes and arrests the man. I can't wait for that.
That's right. There'll be a weird conflict. On January 20th, 2021, after the new president is sworn in, don't get happy. I've got my fingers crossed again.
Right.
But that day will be very interesting if Trump decides not to leave office, because then the new president will be knocking at the White House door, and Trump will be held up in one of the rooms with like a shotgun. Sort of like the warden at the end of Shawshank Redemption.
He'll get it. If you break in, he'll get it. The president gets it. Here's the thing is if he were impeached, wouldn't Pence be so giddy to go arrest him and take him away?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think Mike Pence wants to be president. And
he sure does.
He did like an impromptu press gaggle, I believe it was yesterday, where people were asking him about the Zelensky call that he made, talking to Zelensky about the Javelin missiles and the quid pro quo. The extortion. I'm trying to change my language now from quid pro quo to extortion. And it was almost like he wanted to say something. He wasn't putting up a fight, which was kind of interesting to watch. I mean, there was nothing particularly notable about the Q&A with Pence, but the main takeaway, I think, was the fact that he didn't say, no, this is fake news, I don't believe any of this. He was kind of, he had like one foot in it in his own Mike Pence kind of way. So I thought that was a fascinating exchange. And speaking of that, Trump also said, this is at his rally last night in Louisiana. Now that we're visiting with Tiny Trump, we want to talk about this too. Trump says at his rally in Louisiana last night that the whistleblower is breaking the law. And well, basically, he goes on to say that it's an illegal act, what's going on here, which is, to me, is a big red flag. You know, because the thing that I've been worried about since the very beginning is Donald Trump looking at the various investigations as an attempted coup by the, quote unquote, deep state. And this is one of those cases where he may actually be framing it along those lines to eventually lead up to perhaps the arrest of some people. I mean, we know Bill Barr's investigating. Who's going to be arrested? I mean, is it going to be one of those pretexts like, oh, we got to go after the plotters of the coup, which is what Erdogan did.
He's running too far behind the ball at this point.
Yeah, he is. You know, that's also true.
They're still setting up an impeachment war room.
Yeah.
Like, it's just they're completely like, he's really, and he's slipping.
Yeah.
His little feet are coming off the pedals.
And he does have little teeny tiny feet. I was thinking of that when he was doing that trick or treating video with Melania, and he was stupidly putting those candy bars on top of the head of that kid who's dressed like a minion from the Minions movies. And the candy bar just falls off, and then Melania does it too, and the candy bar falls off again, and then Trump just shuffles the kid along, and he doesn't get any candy. Melania half-heartedly tries to put the candy on the head of the minion, but she gives up. And then, but the point is I saw
like robots, like aliens, like, oh, a human child.
Yes, that's right. They're learning how to be human.
It is
human.
Customary to put candy on their heads. Yes, no.
God damn it, that's funny.
In this ritual. human suit is itching.
Yeah, and what I noticed, though, is Donald Trump's little teeny tiny feet, and they're only made more teeny and tinier by the fact that he's got those giant parachute pants or whatever those fucking things that he wears on his legs. But anyway, so Trump is talking about the whistleblower and threatening arrests, you know, kind of leading his flock toward the concept of going after, you know, dissidents and people who are attempting this coup. Here's Tiny Trump talking about all of this. This is last night in Louisiana.
But the whistleblower, before they knew I was going to release, he came out with a whistleblower, you know, like he's some wonderful person. Take a look at the whistleblower. But the whistleblower came out with this horrible statement about this call. So I really had no choice. I said immediately, talk about transparency. I said, release it. Release it immediately. And then the whistleblower saw it, and Shifty Shift saw it as a total crook. Schiff saw it, Pelosi saw it, and they said, we got a problem. We don't want to have anything to do with the whistleblower anymore. And
well, now hold on a second. I got to stop him there. I got to stop Tiny Trump there. There's a little bit more to the tape, but he said, yeah, when Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi saw the transcript that Donald Trump released, they went, we don't want anything to do with the whistleblower. I mean,
that's not true at all.
It's of course not true. It's insane. This is the fantasy land I'm talking about in my latest Salon piece. This is the kind of nonsense that he can so easily inject into their tenderized skulls and without any opposition, without any question whatsoever. So therefore, what he's about to say with regard to Pelosi, Schiff, the whistleblower, etc., all engaged in illegal acts. Well, that, I think, is part of that process of warming up his people into going along with him as he tries to arrest some actual investigators here. Let's continue on.
The whistleblower disappeared. You know who else disappeared? The second whistleblower. And you know who else disappeared? The informer to the whistleblower, if there was such a person, which I doubt.
Okay, so this goes back to what T-Rex was just saying with regard to Donald Trump being way behind the curve. I mean, he's...
Yeah.
What day are we in the Trump impeachment? Day 45 of the impeachment of Donald Trump, which began about a day after the whistleblower transcript came out. And so Donald Trump is 45 days behind the curve. On top of the whistleblower and the second whistleblower, we already know the names of the other whistleblowers, the names
right.
Bill Taylor, Marie Yovanovitch, Fiona Hill, George Kent, Colonel Vindman, Michael McKinley. I'm going to just read a couple more here. Laura Cooper.
And now Sondland.
Yeah, right. Catherine Croft, Sondland, Christopher J. Anderson, Tim Morrison, and the list goes on and on, growing longer by the day. And then starting on Wednesday, we've got the public hearings. But, oh, wait, you know what? I haven't played the illegal part yet of this clip. Let's play the part where he threatens that this is these are all illegal acts. I'm going to skip ahead.
We go to the Supreme Court, maybe, but they got to stop it because we have a country to run. And these people, in order to do things, are willing to do illegal acts.
Illegal acts.
It's an illegal act as far as I'm concerned.
It's an illegal act as far as he's concerned, the impeachment, I think.
The sentence, we have a country to run, he didn't finish. He should have said, we have a country to run into the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly right. So the other lie that he rapidly injected into the skulls of his disciples was that Matt Bevin was losing by 20 points before the Kentucky rally, was behind in the polls, behind Andy Beshear by 20 points in the polls, until Donald Trump showed up in Lexington over the weekend, and that's when Matt Bevin rose up to be within a couple of points of Andy Beshear because of Donald Trump's rally.
No,
I know.
That's not true.
I know. Again, completely untrue. Everything is untrue. But this is what half, I don't know, you know, exaggerate too much, but this is what around 40% of American voters believe. Anything that Donald Trump foists at them, they're going to say, well, sure, okay, fine. He was down by 20 points. Then he ended up losing only by 3 points. I guess it was all Donald Trump and his magic. Which now, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, all of these Republican candidates who are running for re-election in next year's election. Yeah, I can't imagine any of them saying, yeah, by all means, let's bring in Trump. We want Trump to, again, scoot his taint all over our election, too, because it's worked out so well in 2017, 2018, 2019, all wonderful elections where Trump has expanded his power base. Wrong. 100%.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, to a certain extent, this is what the Susan Sarandons of the world wanted, you know.
Oh, I hate her.
Oh, my God, yeah. Well, that's a speaking
I bet you have a story about her, though.
I almost met her, and she was kind of weird.
The breaking news, Susan Sarandon's kind of weird.
It was really weird. It was really like kind of almost, she wasn't quite rude, but almost. Because the surroundings, she knew better than to be rude.
Yeah.
But had the surroundings been different, mm-hmm. I think she would have been rude.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the reasons I played that President Show clip at the top of the show today is because I stuck my face into the Democratic primaries for a second this morning.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh,
that was probably not a good idea, at least for my mentions. But, you know, all I said was Bernie and Elizabeth Warren need to drop this elimination of private insurance from their Medicare for All plan. And then, of course, everyone took that to mean I didn't support or I wasn't supporting Medicare for All, which I do support. I just do not support the concept. I'm all for either Medicare for All or adding the public option to the ACA marketplaces. I think the effect is going to be basically the same. But I'm not into the idea of eliminating private insurance as part of that process because, and this was my reasoning, it is a election killer. We are in a fight for our lives here. The life of the republic is at stake. And this is something that's going to drive away voters. And it may not even get passed given the hurdles that we watched take place that Barack Obama had to jump throughout the course of just passing the ACA with a Democratic supermajority in the Senate. My God. And so this
barely
basically
for a day.
So the the sacrifice, the heavy lifting this will require is not worth what the end result will be, which will probably be having to eliminate that as part of the plan when it ultimately goes to the sausage making. Right?
Somebody had a very good argument against just adding a public option unless it's super robust and forces doctors to participate in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because what private insurance could do with a public option that would, if done properly, eliminate private insurance over time.
Yeah.
Basically an insurance company that has all these doctors in network could say, look, I'm going to give you a better payment schedule than the public option is. Because tomorrow I'm getting a mammogram and the doctor that I go to, all they take is Medicare. They don't take private insurance, which is interesting to me, which is fine.
Yeah.
So I have to pay that out of pocket.
Hmm.
And it's $300 once a year for me to do that. Because he's out of my network because he doesn't take any private. He only takes Medicare. Yeah. But say it were reversed, it would be like, okay, I only take Blue Shield because they're giving me X amount of dollars for all these patients. Obviously, Medicare is paying him well.
Yeah.
Because doctors do have a choice on what they accept. A lot of doctors don't accept insurances that are on the exchange, even though it's still Blue Cross Blue Shield, but that's a lower payment schedule to that particular doctor.
I see. So, I mean, I think that makes a lot of sense, too, to require doctors to take
every doctor that does general, any cancer doctor, any doctor that you're ever going to have to potentially deal with has to accept the public option. And that's the only way that's going to work competitively.
That's a really great point. And, you know, again, my ultimate concern is in this process that we're already Medicare for All is going to be a lot of heavy lifting because it's a major change in the system. And knowing what happened with the last major change in the system and how chaotic that was, I feel like the elimination that, as I've been referring to it, as a Thanos snap to eliminate all private insurance overnight, I guess, or even phased out, is going to terrify everybody. I mean, talk about chaos that'll make the rollout of healthcare.gov seem like a walk in the park.
I had a discussion with a friend of mine. He goes, well, I really like my insurance. And it's like, I think you just like your doctors, first off.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I tolerate mine. I said, I was offered an HMO in my same, you know, but they chose a doctor that was 30 miles from where I live.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and by the way, this is only going to be $50 less a month, so it's not worth it to me.
And the other thing that was concerning me as I'm watching my mentions fill up with people going, no, Bob, no. I'm going, look, if you can't understand a tweet that clearly does not say that I'm against the Medicare for All plan, then how the hell are you going to understand major changes in the health insurance system? How are you going to spread the word about that online, discuss it on social media? If you don't understand what I wrote in 280 characters, how are you going to grasp this larger thing? And that was kind of the source of my dissatisfaction in that process. It wasn't so much
this
the people
challenging
me. This
is why I'm anti-Twitter now.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shithole country, basically. Twitter is a place where people go to shout at the top of their lungs incoherently and misunderstand and react.
Yeah.
And never, actually read articles that they forward. They just react to the headline.
I know. Well, at the very least, I guess the best you can say for Twitter is, it's better than Facebook. Yeah, like not saying a whole lot. That's the only compliment I can really give it.
Yeah. Right. Everyone I know like wants to leave Facebook, but we're also it's like the only way that we are connected to some of our friends. It's,
exactly.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing I was going to say about
MySpace,
public policies,
come on back.
Yeah, MySpace.
You know, the marketplace policies here in Georgia is that no doctor in town takes the insurance. You have to go like, you know, 30, 50 miles or all the way to Atlanta to see a dentist. You know, it's ridiculous.
So so the policies on the marketplace should be standard policies by people like Blue Cross Blue Shield or Kaiser or something like that, right? And doctors aren't taking that insurance?
No, they had like a big meeting. Like, you know, doctors are all Republicans anyway, and they had some huge meeting where they agreed as a group and like they were not in the town going to take the public policy, the, you know, the marketplace
the exchange
policies.
Yeah.
And so you got pretty much, you know, you're sealed out. You have to go out of town to get. And to me, that's like racketeering, is it not? I mean, doesn't that?
That was always a problem with insurance. I mean, regardless of the existence of the ACA, that was always a private insurance problem where you've got a plan and you're paying into it, and then suddenly you realize as soon as you're sick that oh wait, there's no doctors in my neighborhood that actually take this plan. Shit. And so that, I mean, again, another a good argument for requiring doctors to accept the public option.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can't help it. I'm really into the concept of giving people the choice and knowing that the ultimate result of that with the existence of a public option or Medicare for All plan, I think those two things should be pretty much interchangeable. Public option, Medicare for All.
Yeah.
Yeah. As far as the ultimate effect of that.
They
still have
like,
private insurance in the UK, don't they?
You can buy into that as a supplemental. Basically, what I think Bernie and Elizabeth Warren would be totally fine with is like, look, Medicare for All is the baseline. It covers everything: dental, vision, mental health care, obviously emergency care, cancer care, whatever it is. That's your baseline. If you want a private room in a hospital, you can buy a supplemental insurance to cover that extra stuff that you may want. Tom Hartman keeps talking about, well, if you want to have plastic surgery, insurance will cover that. It doesn't cover it now.
No, does it? No.
Because that's elective surgery, unless it's for like reconstructive surgery, and most insurance will cover that.
Yeah.
But like for elective, that just doesn't get covered. Tom Hartman needs to learn that because obviously he hasn't had any, unlike I have.
Yeah.
So, because it don't cover it. It's very pricey. But no, I mean, basically what I think people would understand is you're covered for everything at this basic, you know, the younger you are, the less you pay $100 a month at the most for anything. Because there are some little bits that you have to pay for with Medicare. But if you want extra, like if you're older and wealthier and you say, hey, I'm in the hospital, I don't want to share a room with five people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Boom, you've got a private room.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not really on board with Pete Buttigieg. I'm not on board with any of the Democrats just yet. I'm still undecided, still making up my mind on all of that. But the fact is that I like his idea for Medicare for all who want it. And that makes perfect sense to me to give people that option and then to allow the public option, the public side of Medicare for all, to put the other private insurers out of business.
I mean, if the
insurance is that great and people are going to love it so much, then the private insurers will slowly dwindle over time automatically. There's no need to freak people out by saying, oh yeah, we're going to do it artificially. We're going to do it legislatively, eliminating all these
and
private
insurers.
And
let the market decide. It's so libertarian.
Right. Yes, it is. Yes, libertarians should be all over this. I guess I'm a libertarian on this. No, I'm certainly
who knew?
Not in
oh,
any
God,
way.
No.
Medicare for all is in no way libertarian. Neither is the public option. Neither is the ACA.
But I mean, that's the argument. Like, hey, if the public option is better, let the market decide.
Right. Absolutely. 100%. Okay, so a couple last things on Tuesday night. Jim Acosta tweeted this, which I thought was fascinating, from a source. He said, on last night's results, source who regularly talks to Trump, quote, totally bad. Kentucky and Virginia signaled to GOP they are underestimating voter intensity against Trump, and it could be terrible for them next year, the source said. Bad omen for impeachment, the source added. So I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that news. Meanwhile, that woman who flipped off Trump while she was riding her bike.
Yay!
Riding her bike past the
national
motorcade.
Hero.
Yeah, she actually won her election. I think her name is Julie Briskman or Briskman. Brisk Man, one of my favorites.
She has a cave.
Yes,
one of my cape, and it's Brisk Man.
One of my favorite superheroes of all time. I love those comic books, the Brisk Man comics.
What's his superpower?
Yeah.
Her superpower is flipping off the president.
The superpower is she makes everyone just a little bit chilly.
Yes.
Brisk. Get it? Brisk.
No, that's what I was thinking. Like, Brisk Man can drop the temperature 20 degrees on command.
Yes, but you're
never really fast.
But you're never quite cold. You're just almost cold. That's the problem. Julie Briskman won a seat on the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors, beating the incumbent Republican in her district with 99% of the precincts reporting the results. She captured 52.4% of the vote. And, woo-hoo! Of course, we have to mention a special congratulations to our friend Carl Frisch.
Yay, Carl!
Not only winning, but winning with like 62% of the goddamn vote. And, boy, I swear to God, I hope more people do what Carl Frisch did. And you know what? You can find Carl Frisch. You can get advice from him in terms of how he did it, the process that he used. I can tell you this. I've never seen a local politician do more door knocking than Carl Frisch has been doing over the past few months. It is quite amazing to watch. And I'm so happy for him. And I'm happy for Fairfax County Schools, who will certainly benefit from that. And I'm looking forward to this victory by Carl Frisch to be his first of many. I would like to see eventually Congressman Carl Frisch. I sound like Vito Corleone in The Godfather. Senator Carl Frisch, President Carl Frisch. But okay, so speaking of people running for things, Jeff Sessions is running again for Senate.
Ugh.
Yeah, but this is gonna
really?
This is going to be fun, and I'll tell you why. Because Donald Trump is opposed to this. Because there's no way they can put the Trump taint on Jeff Sessions. Because first of all, he's already got it. But second of all, Jeff Sessions doesn't like Trump. Trump doesn't like Jeff Sessions. So this is going to be almost like Sessions emerging as a never Trump kind of candidate, which is strange.
Where is he's running in Alabama? Why doesn't he just retire?
I know.
God, he's like lied to Congress in front of God and everybody. All his opponent has to do is play that audio or video from his congressional testimony where he says he doesn't recall meeting with any Russians and that there were 32 meetings with Russians. That's a lot to forget. That's the end of his campaign.
Yeah, I know.
I don't understand why or what he thinks he's... Yeah. I really hate Jeff Sessions. He's one of those people, I think we talked about this before, he just makes, I get a visceral kind of revulsion every time I see him. Like, I just want to, like, I don't know, run and hide or attack him or, ugh.
Well, three sources familiar with the plan said the announcement is going to be tonight on Fox News. I guess Sessions is going to go on Fox News and announce his candidacy tonight, and he's going to be running against, I guess, Doug Jones. He's going to be looking for that seat. Sessions is hired On Message as his consulting firm for the campaign. According to two sources, On Message did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Rick Dearborn, former top aide to Sessions, declined to comment on whether his former boss would announce a bid in the coming days. This should be fascinating. Despite the turbulent relationship with Trump, Sessions has remained popular in Alabama, a state Trump won with 62% of the vote in 2016. Sessions would be joining a crowded primary field that includes Bradley Byrne, a former Auburn University football coach named Tommy Tuberville.
I love that name.
That name is hilarious to me for some reason.
It's horrible. As someone who lives here, just, you know, a couple miles from Tuberville. just up the holler from Incest Creek.
Is there a place called Tuberville in Alabama?
No, I don't think so. I mean, but you never know.
I bet there is a place called Tuberville. It just sounds right.
The 2017 GOP nominee who lost to Senator Doug Jones, Roy Moore, is probably also going to jump in.
Kitty toucher.
Yeah. Primary slated for March 3rd. Some Republicans, including his potential opponents, are not keen on Sessions launching a bid to return to the Senate. I think it would be a mistake.
For real. We've got like a Russian collaborator, a child molester, like a former football coach who probably, I mean, what else? Come on, Alabama.
And I'm looking forward to Donald Trump shitting his big boy pants every time Sessions emerges with something, or Trump has to go down and endorse a candidate. You know, it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to observe all of that. Okay, let's change gears here. Talk about this for a second. Quick recap of the big contest underway on our Patreon page. In case you're just joining us, we're doing this big contest where the 1,000th subscriber at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow is going to get to co-host an entire show with me. Oh boy, you'll get the chance to rant about Trump or whatever's on your mind to tens of thousands of listeners, hopefully. Again, that subscriber number 1,000 is going to get to co-host this podcast for one exciting episode. I'm not making this up. This is real. On top of that, if you subscribe for $5 per month or more, you'll get all kinds of bonus content, including the Postmortem Show. And if you're on board for $10 a month, you get the Postmortem Show and the Friday After Party. And by the way, I'm not going to be announcing whether there's a winner until January 1, 2020. So when you get a chance, make sure to stop by our Patreon page at BobSeskaShow.com or Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. Sign up for at least $1 per month. You're hardly going to miss it, and you'll be supporting the show in the best way possible. Don't forget to tell all your friends, too. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSeska.com. Thank you in advance for all of that.
The Bob Seska Show.
The Bob Seska Show.
Going around the world, what did I see? Going around the world, what would I be?
As a band called Option Y, brand new to the show, just received this submission the other day. Song called Live Not on Evil, and it's from their latest album, their 2019 album called Step on No Pets. That's the name of the album. Yes. Again, it's Option Y.
Are those palindromes? Those are palindromes, aren't they?
I think so.
The same backwards as forwards?
Yeah, Evil on Not Live. That's the backward one. No. Yeah, you're right. They are palindromes. I'm just now noticing that. Boy, I'm quick on the uptake today, aren't I? Yeah, you're exactly right. Step on No Pets, also a palindrome. Well,
I find those fascinating. I love palindromes. I've never been able to make one, but they're cool.
Yeah, super duper clever.
Speaking of cool, I want to say something very quickly.
Okay.
The people who keep coming to me, like the people who are like subscribing to my podcast or friending me on Facebook that are mutual friends or coming from your group of fans and listeners, Bob, are the nicest, kindest people. It's insane. Like, I will be going through something and I'll say it's just like, you know, I'm like having hay fever or something, and people will message me like, I'm so sorry you're not feeling well. I'm like, you're so kind. Like, it's just very like, it's very yeah, you draw a really good crowd. Like,
yeah, well, you know what?
I'll open for you anytime.
Well, I got to tell you, it's not necessarily just me. It's, first of all, it's all five of us, Buzz, you guys, Kimberly Johnson, the whole cast of characters on the show. But that's only comprising, I think, half of why you're seeing what you're seeing with our listeners, because I think the other half of the equation is Stephanie Miller. And the Stephanie Miller universe and all of her listeners, who are some of the most loyal, dedicated, wonderful people in the world. In fact, I just over this past weekend, I drove down to Rockville and spent some time with Sue and Peter Cohen. Sue and Rockville.
I love Sue and Peter.
They're the so best. Sweet. Oh, my God. I got to hang out with them
at their bookstore.
Don't go
back to Rockville. Oh, sorry.
They have the most amazing bookstore. Oh my God.
Really?
Bren, I think it's the website is Bren-Books. Yeah. Bren with a hyphen in there. It's Bren-Books.com. And they have this collection. I mean, it's a priceless collection of autographed first editions autographed by the authors, of course. Wouldn't it be funny if they had a bunch of first editions that just Sue and Peter autographed? That would be amazing.
I think that would be better.
I used to do that, actually. I would, that would go be to better. Parties and I would pull somebody's copy of, like, you know, As I Lay Dying, like, off the shelf.
Oh my God.
And write, like, you know, to Karen, like, you know, with all my love, William Faulkner or something, you know, and just put it back on the shelf.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you signed it David Ferguson. Like, you signed
you signed it as the author.
That's even better.
Still, that's just as good. That's funny. I got to start doing that myself. Okay, you know what else is funny? Speaking of books, Mark Halperin.
Don't do this, people. Sorry, go on.
Don't try this at home. But yeah, I do want to say thank you to all of our listeners. Thank you to all the listeners that came in from the Stephanie Miller Show. Thank you to all of our regulars who have been here forever. And of course, thank you to all of my amazing co-hosts, our little merry band of misfits and weirdos here on the show. And I certainly include myself as the king misfit, the king weirdo in the entire proceeding.
King Dick of Prick Mountain.
Thank you. Perfect. I agree.
It's weird though. It's almost like they have a sixth sense because I'm going through some stuff right now with my family and my mom's estate that I don't really want to go too deeply into.
I've been
getting all this like these little back notes, these notes, these messages of support from people, just like remember that you're loved, and I'm like, how did you even know that I needed that today? It's weird.
Yeah, whenever I get a response.
We're all connected, dude. It's all like, you know, metaphysical. All connected.
You know, on February 4 of next year, February 4, 2020, it's going to be the 10th anniversary of this show, the beginning of this show.
Wow.
And so it started out as the Bob and Elvis show, and then became the Bob and Chez show when Elvis left, and then we lost Chez, and that's when it became the Bob Seska show. So we've had three different names for the show, blasting through co-hosts like Spinal Tap drummers. Good luck, guys.
I thought it was bass players.
Sorry. Oh, I've had way more co-hosts.
That was my band. Sorry. That was...
Yeah. Bob, I beat you on co-hosts.
Oh, well, how many co-hosts have you had, Jody?
Oh, boy. Let me see it start.
You can just
I'm coming up on 11 years. Only two names, but 11 years. So Sean, then Sean and Rick, and then Rick, and then Rick and Nick, and then Rick, Nick, and David, and now Sean and David and me. So I think I'm ahead of you a little bit.
Yeah, you've totally beaten
me. By one.
That's, yeah, exactly. Well, I was going to say, throughout the history of the show, I've been doing this for almost 10 years. It still amazes me when someone hears a piece of something that we've been talking about on the show and then actually comments about it. I'm still blown away by the fact that people comment about the things that we discuss on this show. It's just such a fun thing to see, and it's such a gratifying thing to see when people are actually engaging with the things that we're talking about. I love to see that, whether it's on Facebook or Patreon or on Twitter or wherever. But going back
that's
to
actually what I miss about being on the radio here.
Oh
in my
town. That the phone calls. Like, yeah, that's
well,
what
like
I
once time there the. There was like a huge storm and there were power outages. And then I reminded everyone, you know, the Athens Clark County Police Department would like to remind you that intersections where a traffic light is inoperative should be treated as a four-way stop. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not everybody knew that. But so and people were calling me and going, I didn't know that. Like, that's really important. Thanks, David. You know, and it was just like, I'm part of the community.
Yeah.
You know, like.
It's mind-blowing. It's one of my favorite things, is seeing
the
comments.
It seems like magic still.
Yeah,
I
know.
I'm sitting here speaking into this microphone and thousands of people are hearing it. And
well, now that we've put some love out there, we're going to make fun of Mark Halperin for a second. Because, womp womp, Mark Halperin's book only sold 502 copies in its first week.
Poor Mark.
Oh, no. What?
Yeah, I know.
What was this one?
I feel terrible for him.
I know. This is
502 copies is like, I mean, that's like his entire like senior class. Like, I mean,
I know.
Grandparents and cousins and.
Yeah.
What's the title?
It's called How to Beat Trump. And it sold just 502 copies in its first week. The numbers were reported Wednesday by NPD BookScan, which tracks around 85% of print sales. It was published on October 29th by Regan Arts. How to Beat Trump compiles comments from such Democratic strategists. Oh, my God. Hang on to your socks and pull. Donna Brazile, David Axelrod, and James Carville. Always the best people to hear from.
Yeah, unless your book... How to Beat Trump is categorized by like golf club, cricket bat, baseball bat. I don't care. I don't want to read it.
Well, I was just going to say, my God, if it's got advice from Donna Brazile and James Carville, well, maybe the next Democratic nominee in 2020.
I'm amazed that people were like camped out at the bookstore like a Harry Potter release for that one.
Yeah, well, what this guarantees this guarantees the Democrats will lose an election in 2004. This is going to make sure with all of that great sage advice from Donna Brazile and James Carville, who have stopped being relevant, I think, probably around the 2004 election, if I have to put a date to it. Meanwhile,
the greatest minds of 30 years ago.
Meanwhile, I also love this story, too. Fox News botched this article, this news piece about Barack Obama and PC meetings that were taking place in the White House. And OK, so the headline says CIA staff complained about Obama White House new book claims. And here's the correction. This is the correction I'm amazed that Fox News posted this correction, but of course the lie version of it has already circulated the earth a couple of times. But it says here at the top, editor's note, an earlier version of this story accurately quoted the book as describing PC as standing for politically correct, meaning that these CIA staffers were pissed off that they had to attend meetings about PC issues, right? In characterizing PC standing for politically correct and characterizing certain Obama administration meetings. The author has since informed Fox News this was due to a misunderstanding between him and his source and that the initials referred to Principals Committee.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God is right. Jesus, another womp womp. Womp womp. These fucking idiots.
The thing that people freak out, the thing that PC is only a thing with that closed set.
Right.
Like the terrarium of Fox. Nobody cares about it but them. But to them, it's everything. But like, it means nothing in the outside. Like, yeah.
Well, this is the same problem. There was a book by, I want to say like, Naomi Wolf, I think, is the author who released a book in which she got like the central thesis of her book, one key fact, completely and totally wrong, and was humiliated on some British radio talk show when they corrected what she had written. And the book had already been out and published. Well, it seems like it's another case of that again with this book, where the author of the book is like whining about the CIA officials complaining about having to attend political correctness meetings in the White House. Turns out it's actually principals committee meetings, which are required and necessary.
Right.
These stupid fucking idiots at Fox News Channel. Okay.
One of the greatest things, and Naomi Klein is like, I'm so glad Naomi Wolf lost her mind because people can tell us apart now.
I was so glad that I said I grabbed Naomi Wolf out of my head and not Naomi Klein. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Naomi Klein is actually really smart and a really good writer and is terrifying. Her dystopian.
Yes, it is terrifying. The Shock Doctrine is like a must-read volume if you are looking for something to read, like over the holidays or something like that. Pick up a whole copy of the Shock Doctrine.
Just terrify yourself over the holidays, why don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, if you haven't read Rachel Maddow's book, you need to read Blowout. You really do.
That's her new book.
And it's so fun. You really think it's going to be? You think it's going to be like eating Brussels sprouts, but it is totally like a flight.
Well, she is a genius.
You start reading, it picks you up, and it carries you all the way to the last page. It's such an adventure. And like I tell you, I was like getting out of bed extra early in the morning so I could read.
You know, I am no one's disciple, but if Rachel Maddow ever decided to run for anything, I would be all on board with that. Because I think she is an utter genius. She is a national treasure, and I'm not saying that jokingly.
I think she's smart enough not to run for anything. Actually.
Yeah, I think it would destroy her will to live to actually be in that process. But yeah, if she decided to go down that road, I'd be on top of that campaign.
I'd be right behind you. I feel kind of the same way about Dolly Parton. Like if Dolly Parton had a cult, I would join it.
Right?
Like they'd be like, you know, put on this caftan, this big blonde bubble wig, and go work the fields, and I'll be like, okay, you know, is Dolly coming? Can I meet her today? Like, you know, she's just there's a Radio Lab series, Dolly Parton's America, that if you need some optimism, if you need to like have like a happy lump in your throat about America, listen to it. I've listened to the first few episodes. It's amazing.
Oh,
Dolly
wow.
Parton is just an amazing person politically, musically,
She's smart as fuck. She is like a she's like a business wizard. I mean, she should be.
Yes, she is
running master classes on if you're a musician, this is how you run your business as a musician, or you run your band, you run your music enterprise this way, and you take it from her because she's really wise when it comes to that stuff. Like she, what does she hold on?
She's had her ups and downs though, because I mean, she talks about there was a period of time like in the early '80s or mid '80s when she was really depressed and was like suicidal, like at the height of her success, you know. And you're just like, wow, if that can happen to her, you know, then maybe it's not so bad that I got crazy depressed after my heart attack, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, well, she's very inspiring sort of, that way, yeah.
I just think she's wonderful. Like I said, if they had the cult, I would join. I would just be like, I'll sign right here, you know?
All right. Well, changing gears one more time. We're going to talk about Bill Barr and Donald Trump here in just a second, right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
This has been sitting in my inbox forever. This is a group called Barker and Broski and a song called Old Man in the Mirror. And they contacted me way back in March, and I'm just now getting around to playing their music here on the show. But I'm glad I'm finally doing it.
Woke up this morning, grabbed some breakfast and tea. You looked in the mirror and said,
link in the description for more of Barker and Broski. This duo.
That sounds so good. You know, this may surprise you, but like, one of the hardest things to do in the studio is to get acoustic instruments to sound good.
And you know, because I'm fairly certain this is a live recording. At least I pulled this from the music video on YouTube, and it's a live recording, or it looks like it's played live and in front of an audience. So I'm not sure exactly. Maybe Barker and or Broski can clarify that for me, but link in the description. You can
You'd
actually
be amazed how much work it takes to make natural things sound natural.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, moving along here. Were you going to say something else?
Well, it just takes us back to Dolly Parton's line from whatever that movie was, Steel Magnolias, where she says, there's no such thing as natural beauty.
That's right. 100%.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah.
Takes her 3 hours to look like that.
Mm-hmm,
takes right. A lot of money to look this trashy. Is what
it
she
does.
Says.
She looks like city trash like that.
You know, speaking of that, Kimberly and I got off again on another evening rant where we were just going. We kind of do these shows. We do podcasts without recording ourselves every damn evening where we just start talking. And one of the things we were talking about the other night is we were trying to recreate Donald Trump's hair using Kimberly's hair. Not like with the hairspray and everything, but we were just, we were trying to, we were debating over where we think the hair is and where we think the hair is not. And
well, some is woven in, you know that, right?
Yeah.
Like there's the synthetic fibers in there.
Yeah, well, he's certainly got the big strip of hair plugs that go across the normal front of the hair that he had pulled from the back of his hair, you know, ripped off in a big strip and then stuck under the front. But the thing that I was thinking about in the process of having this conversation about his hair is the fact that he's got to grow the hair really long on the sides and in the front in order to cover up the bald area in the middle and go all the way back to the back of his neck. And I can only imagine what Donald Trump looks like soaking wet right out of the shower. Looking
it
like
touches, it's It's so far down, like it's behind his knees.
Yeah,
long.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's got to be 5 feet long the way it's got that swirl there on the top. Uh-huh. And I just kept thinking of Gollum. He just looks like fat Gollum.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like pale, like pinkish pale with that hair wet and hanging all down, no makeup. The reason I thought of this is the process that he has to go through every morning to make himself presentable to the world. Between the hair, the makeup, and the oversized suits that cover up all kinds of different things. He's got the broader shoulders on the suit jackets because he's got little narrow shoulders, which you can kind of see poking up through the shoulder pads on the suit. And, you know, it's just like, these are things that I think about.
How does he do that to clothes? It's appalling.
I don't know.
He could take perfectly normal human clothes and make them look like a clown suit. It's crazy. I don't like.
That's right. That's what's just amazing. It continues.
And these guys are supposedly got so much money. Same thing with Manafort.
Yeah.
And Giuliani. They all look like they got dressed with a pitchfork. You know, like somebody. And,
Too funny.
It's just. I know. If you had all the money and no taste in the world, and just it hurts. It hurts sometimes, my little gay heart.
So
just to look at them.
I know it's painful. It was one of those things that Chez was obsessed with too. Is how Donald Trump, even though he's a billionaire, can't get a decent tailored suit to save his life.
Because the gays, don't like him.
Now. Yeah,
exactly.
That's true. Yeah, yeah.
He's never even been close to being a billionaire.
I know.
I agree.
I know. Well, he claims to be one, and I'm just operating from that context. Maybe that's why all of his suits suck, because he doesn't have any money to buy suits. But he also
rips off his tailors as well as everyone else.
I know.
Lawyer, tailor, doctor.
Yeah.
Why pay bills?
The fact that so many people are putting their reputations on the line to circle wagons around this guy will always, always, always stagger me. Okay. One of those people is Bill Barr. And apparently Trump wanted Bill Barr to make a statement about the stupid DNC conspiracy theory, and Barr refused to go along with the little plan.
He finally found his gag reflex. Amazing.
That's so funny. Yes, exactly. President Trump wanted Bill Barr to hold a news conference declaring that the commander-in-chief had broken no laws during a phone call in which he pressed his Ukrainian counterpart to investigate a political rival. And I'm just now realizing, and I'm OCD about this, but we got to do this first.
If you have any doubt, it's gonna take him out, Ukraine.
I was napping there for a second. So he wanted Barr to have a news conference declaring that the commander-in-chief had broken no laws during a phone call in which he pressed blah, 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 Zelensky, and et cetera.
See, I think Barr could go to jail for that, technically. If he's like, couldn't he, like, if he's making a public statement as a representative of the U.S. government?
Yeah, well, they...
Isn't that a crime?
I don't know if it's a crime, but I do know that I don't see any reason why he wouldn't say anything, because... This is about the fact that the Justice Department decided not to pursue criminal charges based on the complaints coming out of the State Department and coming out of the White House, coming out of the National Security Council, et cetera. Because, I mean, there were referrals made to the Justice Department, which Bill Barr went, no, he's unitary executive theory. He's immune from everything. The request from Trump traveled from the president to other White House officials and eventually to the Justice Department. The president has mentioned Barr's demurral to associates in recent weeks, saying he wished Barr would have held the news conference, Trump advisors say. And now Trump is freaking out about it. He called, of all people, he referred to Carol Lenig as a lowlife today.
What?
On Twitter. In response to this story, Carol Lenig was one of the three reporters who reported this initially in the Washington Post. And Carol Lenig is also seemingly, at least on when we see her on the Rachel Maddow show and on the other MSNBC shows, she seems like someone's mom, like the nicest, like you would go over to her house afterwards. She'd be the cool mom with the cookies and soda pop and everything. And
I kind of want to go to the beach with Carol Lenig. To me, she seems like she should be like... You know, like floating at the hotel pool with a Mai Tai, like getting some sun.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, it's like I was thinking, like, in terms of Halloween, she'd be the mom who would have the full-size candy bars.
The full-size candy bars, yep.
Yeah. It seems like a no-brainer. In fact, Kimberly and I fantasize that Carol Lenig is actually Robert Costa's mom. She's actually Muggsy's mom.
Okay, well, you know Eli Stokels from the LA Times?
Yes.
Yes.
He's like totally like Rolf the dog to me. Like in my imagination, he can like play the piano like honky tonk style with a cigarette hanging out of the corner of his mouth. You know?
Oh my God, that's so perfect. He is. He is like Rolf. Oh,
he's such a bear. I have such a crush on him. Like, yeah.
But I mean, Carol Lennig, I mean, of all people, she should be the one doing, and she has been. She's had some of the biggest scoops that we've seen in the last 3 years. She's so even keeled. She's just the right person to be pursuing Donald Trump.
There's no one that he won't smear. I mean, nobody.
Of course not. No.
I mean, he smeared the Pope, for God's sake.
Smeared the Pope.
He did. Jesus. Remember?
Yeah. Like, smeared the Khan family, smeared John McCain's military service.
He's got no moral compass with regards to that. It's just, it's like, me, if you're for me or against me, period. Yeah. And if you're against him, you're a low life and crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, meanwhile, similar situation. Intelligence officials wanted CIA Director Gina Haspel. So this is like almost seems to me as if it might even be the response to what Trump was trying to do with Bill Barr. Well, the intelligence community wanted Gina Haspel to step forward to weigh in on the whistleblower whose complaint is now at the center of the House impeachment inquiry. And they're referring to the whistleblower as the CIA whistleblower, confirming that I guess we already knew that. I should take that back.
I think we knew that. Yeah.
I don't think I knew that.
Yeah, because of how the chain of command was. It was through the CIA or something. Yeah.
Right. Okay. She so far has avoided making any statements about the whistleblower or the complaint, as has DNI Joseph McGuire. Former CIA Director John Brennan called on leaders in the intelligence community to push back both publicly and privately against attempts by GOP lawmakers and Trump officials to unmask and punish the whistleblower. Current U.S. intelligence officials say they have taken steps to protect the identity of the whistleblower, but they have not indicated whether Haspel or McGuire have urged Trump behind the scenes to stop encouraging efforts to out him. But Donald Trump Jr. did it anyway.
Yep.
Which I'm wondering if Donald Trump Jr. could be prosecuted for that.
Well, I can give you the statute number if you would like.
Okay.
Because, you know, that would be me.
Do you really have it?
I do. It's the Whistleblower Protection Act of 1989, 5 U.S.C. 2302-PUB.L.101-12.
Wow!
And that is the law. That is the statute that he broke.
Very impressive. Dong dong.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just had to post it for a friend of mine. That's why I had it handy.
Yeah.
I'm so honored to be a fellow Goth Ninja.
See, you got to up your game, T-Rex. You got to come up with.
I know. I've got to be.
You just got to watch a lot of Law and Order.
See, that's easy. The remembering is hard. That's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
At least it's the hard part for me. Ukrainian-American businessman Lev Parnas, meanwhile, one of the various Batman villains surrounding Donald Trump. I don't think they're even qualified to be Batman villains, quite honestly.
They're not that smart.
They're too incompetent.
They're Austin Powers victims.
Yeah, I know.
There you go.
Right. Villains, not victims.
Yes, villains.
They Austin Powers villains.
Yeah, perfect. I think that's a much better way to put it. Ukrainian businessman and Austin Powers villain Lev Parnas received $500,000 from Long Island attorney so he could pay Rudy Giuliani to help pressure Ukrainian government to launch investigations into Trump's political opponents. Boy, I'm already tired reading that sentence. That's a long fucking sentence with a lot of detail in it. Charles, oh my God. Oh my God. The guy's name is Charles Gucciardo.
What?
I know. See, look, I'm Italian and I'm laughing at this guy's name because seems like right in keeping with everything else. Seems like this guy's 100% mafia. Charles Gucciardo, a Republican donor and Trump supporter, gave the money to Lev Parnas as part of a deal that would make Gucciardo an investor in Parnas's company. Fraud guarantee.
I know. I love the name
it's
of that
amazing.
Company.
I know. Parnas then gave the money to Giuliani's firm in October 2018, which cemented the relationship between Parnas and Giuliani. Giuliani and Parnas would then go on to become a critical part of the campaign to pressure Zelensky, of course, with the extortion regarding Hunter Biden, Joe Biden in the 2016 election. Parnas's company, Fraud Guarantee, was presented as a bulwark against the risk of being defrauded, but the company never had any official customers, and Giuliani never engaged in any public marketing for it. Giuliani is currently under federal investigation. Probably, I mean, when is he going to be indicted? For God's sake, why are they screwing around on here? He's so clearly part of this cabal, this criminal enterprise, this plot. I don't understand why he hasn't been indicted yet. Do they not have? Do you think they not have? They don't have the goods on him yet?
I think he just keeps making more evidence.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe he's more useful just out at large, right?
Mm-hmm.
That could be it too. Meanwhile, the House is going to begin public impeachment hearings next week. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's going to dovetail nicely with testimony in the Roger Stone trial.
Yeah, holy shit. Yeah.
Because the prosecutor in the Roger Stone trial basically announced that he would be trying the Mueller investigation. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he was just like, this is what happened, and you know, here we go. So it's all kind of, there's sort of a synergism coming together. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
with the Roger Stone trial, it's shaping up to be like the OJ trial, because it's like this, it's completely chaotic. The gaggle of freaks and weirdos showing up. I mean, there are a bunch of Proud Boys there. There was some mysterious man in a hat and a trench coat who had a seizure. Roger Stone himself had to dash out of the courtroom into the bathroom for some reason, where he just stood around inside one of the bathroom stalls. Everything is fucking screwy there. And meanwhile, we found out that
his head is very strangely shaped.
Yes.
Have you noticed this?
Yes, I have. Of course, T-Rex, I have noticed.
His walk into the courtroom, and I was just like, is he a hyena?
Yeah.
Like, what on earth is going on with the shape of his head?
Right, when he headbutts someone, it makes this noise. Because it doesn't headbutt you, it just pokes you. It's Roger Stone's head. But he lied to Congress. We found that out this week, too, about his efforts to contact WikiLeaks during the 2016 campaign because, quote, the truth looked bad for Donald Trump, a federal prosecutor said in his opening statement at Stone's trial. The prosecutor's last name is Zelensky, which is
That's weird.
Perfection. Makes it
I guess
easy
there are a few
us.
Things as awful in the world, though. It's a split screen of Randy Credico and Jerome Corsi. It's just like, it's like the two saddest alcoholic birthday clowns in the world.
Oh, my God, like, yeah.
They're just,
yeah, but you know what?
Credico is just like visibly sweaty. Like, he's like visibly moist all the time.
Visibly moist Credico, yeah. I think the best description of those guys are Austin Powers villains. You're absolutely right.
Who does number two work for?
Yeah, it's kind of impressive that, and kind of indicative of Donald Trump's incompetence, that he would choose such morons.
It's so pathetic that these are people that are purportedly governing us right now. You know?
Yeah, well, now if you want to make it really scary, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, it is true. And we're kind of screwed.
I mean, it's hilarious until the missiles launch. It's just, you know, I just, ugh.
Well, that goes along with the poll number here, the pollgasm I was going to mention on the show today. 56% of voters expect Trump to be reelected next year. That's 85% of Republicans, 51% of independents, and 35% of Democrats.
Now, I think it's more of a fear. I think that's more of a fear thing.
Right,
they're worried he's going to be elected versus he will. So that's good. They're not happy.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. I guess that's a positive thing. I guess that's indicative of what you're saying. Don't get happy. It's fascinating to me.
A second term would be a catastrophe.
It would.
Yeah,
I agree.
It can't happen. He must lose. It's not a matter of if or when Donald Trump will win. It is a matter of...
He can't.
He just can't.
He
simply can't.
He cannot.
We all have to do everything we can, of course, within the boundaries of the law. No voting multiple times. Unless you can get away with it. Yeah, I know. Except for T-Rex. Vote as often as you want in Georgia. But we just have to do everything we can. If you can volunteer, if you can canvas, go do that too. The main thing is just keeping the energy up, keeping the word out, making sure people don't get discouraged and misinformed. I think that's going to be the main thing. There's going to be a lot of misinformation. Yeah. If 2016
and malinformation. There's going to be malinformed, not just misinformed, but malinformed.
Okay, well, the From the Bunker podcast is found at from-the-bunker.com and also at sexyliberal.com, along with all of the rest of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network lineup. And you can listen to T-Rex's podcast at patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Make sure to support that, too. All right, lots more conversation happening on our postmortem show. As soon as this music is done, we just keep on talking, and then we post the results on our Patreon page at bobseskashow.com. So if you want to be in the know, if you want to be caught up to speed with everything we're talking about, go to our Patreon page. See you over there, folks. Bye-bye.
Hey, this is Lee Papa, host of AGD Podcast with the Rude Pundit. If you enjoyed this episode, you'll love my show, where every week I talk about politics and interview funny, fascinating, and filthy people. Find it at sexyliberal.com and on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and everywhere else you get your podcasts.